1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we'll start this evening, and I want to speak to you about the idea of being together. Now, we are living in a season of society right now where they don't want us together. Now, for some of you, you love this. It's like, I don't have to touch anybody. I don't have to be near anybody. I just have my personal bubble, and it's all good. And some of you are just thrilled. But there's others who are suffocating because of the lack of social interaction. And so, now, Kyle? All right, which side are you, buddy? The social what? So you need that interaction, and you're not getting it. You feel suffocating, don't you? Yeah, I can see it. But in missions, there's a natural distance between you and your missionaries. And with that distance, it's quite hard to feel together with them. When you take on a missionary for support, and then they go to their destination of where God's called them, it's a long time before you see them. And unless you've got their names written down, prayer cards on the fridge, prayer cards at the table, something that keeps you reminded of them, it can allow that distance to grow, not geographically, but spiritually or emotionally, and that's hard. Because when we're not together as a church family, normally you wouldn't be sitting every other pew. I mean, I would from Zach, but other than that, you would not just be sitting every other pew. You'd be sitting closer together. There, you would have times of fellowship before and after the services. But in the same sense, our missionaries are a distance from us. And they too need to have that sense of togetherness. Paul writes about this to the church at Corinth. In fact, there's two churches where Paul really strengthened this idea of being together. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, he was 200 miles away from them. When he wrote to the church at Rome, he was 500 miles away from them. But yet, he will write about being together with them. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Start with me in verse number 5. He asks a rhetorical question. Who then is Paul? Well, you say, well, I thought Paul was writing this. Well, Paul is. But he's establishing a point. Why? Verse 4 said, some would say that they're of Paul. Others would identify as being part of Apollos. And Paul says, well, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth, watch those words now, are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Keep in mind, the reward is for the labor, not the man-made metrics of success to say, your crowd is this big, you've had this many converts to Christianity, but it's mainly the labor that you did for the Lord. Note also, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for this wonderful crowd that's here. Thank you for the good singing that we had and the stirring message in song that we heard. I pray now, Father, you'll fill me with your Spirit, that you'll help me to communicate truth, and may it come forth simply. God, I don't want to make things complicated. I want to make them simple, and I need your Holy Spirit's power to do that. So please fill me with your Spirit, fill your people as well. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Isaac, come help me for a sec. We'll try to do this social distanced a little bit. But then again, I arm wrestled somebody in chapel today. But You want to arm wrestle instead? Okay, no. Have a seat here on the altar area. Here we go. Okay, now, we are sitting together, right? Right. Agreed? Okay, go to that side, Isaac. No, really, keep going. No, just kidding. So, are we sitting together? This is hard, isn't it? Because you're saying, well, okay, you're sitting together on the same altar area, yes. You're together in the same sense of you're in the building together, and I'm seated together with you at this point, but are we really together? Because when we think together, what do we think? Squished up shoulder to shoulder together. Like this fine couple. Are you all married? It's legal. Yeah, for now. Great. I can switch to family and the message if I need to. You all are sitting together, and there's no question about that. Isaac and I are kind of sitting together. How many of you have family that are out of state? Are you together as a family? Well, yes and no. Your genetic ties and binds are there, but geographically you're not. But what keeps you together? Isaac, are you bored yet? I was getting bored, so go sit down. You're just amazing. So you're not together with your family, but you are together with your family. What do you do to make the togetherness work? Well, you have to talk. You have to connect some way. And for many of us during this COVID season from March forward, we all had to figure out, how are we going to check on our parents? How are we going to check on our siblings? How are we going to check on our children or our grandchildren? You had to kind of figure that out. Well, in missions, we've got to look at ourselves as a church to say, we're together here. We support missionaries that are out there, and we need to stay together with them. In missions, it's critical that we look at four specific areas of how we are connected to our missionaries. Now, Paul is writing to these churches, 500 miles from one church, 200 miles from another church, and he's talking about togetherness. And that's without an interstate, that's without a plane, that's without a car. And he still says, we're together. And it's this idea I want you to see with me tonight. Go with me to Romans 1. We were in Romans last night. But I want to look at these four passages that are all related to being together. Because if there's anything that's happened in this season, is that we've grown apart. We don't have the normal connections that we normally have. Sunday school. Then we have church, but we come in an hour later than we came in before. And then we don't talk to each other or see each other, or we try to stay away from each other, but we try to stay close to each other. And it's hard. You have to intentionally make this work. And so it is with us, with our missionaries. We're going to have to figure out how to stay together, because if we're getting disconnected here, how much more so are they disconnected from us? In the last 14 days, we've had 3 deaths in our missions family. We have missionaries who cannot get to their mothers. Their mom died. They can't leave the country where they are because of COVID. So they had to watch their mom's funeral online. That was just this afternoon. A few days ago, another mother died of one of our missionaries, and he asked to FaceTime into her hospital room to be there when she passed. That's pretty rough. And yet, even others who've had COVID situations in their lives who have passed. These are real people who've paid a real price to be where they are. It's our duty to stay connected with them. So, well, they need to stay connected with us. we've got to reach them. We've got to stay connected with each other as well as with them. We have people who are barred or banned from leaving their village. They cannot leave the village where they are. There are police at the border of the village. They can't leave. We have people who can only shop on certain days of the week. Some only one day a week. We have others who are in other places around the world that it is absolute restriction. You know, for our quarantine, we could still go to Chick-fil-A. For their quarantine, they can't even get to the grocery store. And if you come to the store on the day that's not yours, you get in trouble. Night before last, this is Thursday, Tuesday night, I got a note from one of our missionaries. He was stopped. He was on a mission to take care of getting someone from the hospital. The police didn't accept that. He shouldn't be out at this hour of the night. And so they made him stay in his car, left him there, and told him he couldn't go anywhere. And there he was in another country because of COVID, could not be able to attend to another missionary who was sick in the hospital and needed to come home. So you look at all of that and you say, all right, these are people who are paying the price. How do we keep them connected with us while we're still trying to get connected with each other? Four things bring us together. Number one, Romans chapter number 1. And I want you to go with me to verse number 11. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 11. Paul said, "For I long to see you." This is the church that was 500 miles away. "I long to see you." Keep in mind, Paul never had visited this church. He did not start this church. He had yet to meet the believers there. Now, he knew people there, but in the sense of he didn't start the work. And now he's saying, "I want to see you." Why? Because he said, "that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." Paul said, "I just want to make a spiritual investment in your life." Why? "To the end that you may be established." Meaning, I want to see you grow in Christ. 12. "That is, that I may be," watch these words now, "comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." The very first thing I need you to see is our faith brings us together. That is, together here as a church family, as well as our faith brings us together with our missionaries. Paul is a missionary. He's writing to the church at Rome, and he's saying, "I want to be with you. I want to see you. I want to invest in you. I want to mentor you. I want to help you," because we believe together. There is a common faith. So when our missionaries get scattered to the four corners of the earth, and we don't see from them, and we don't hear from them often, like you would hear from your own family, what do we have that keeps us together? Number one, we have our faith, what we believe. I can come in here, having been vetted by pastor, to say, "Yeah, John believes the same as we believe, holds to the principles we hold to. These are the things." So I get to stand before you and preach to you. Now, even though we don't have the same life experiences, we weren't born in the same places, we don't know all the things that each other knows, I don't know what you do for a living, I don't know a lot of things about you, but what brings us together? Our faith. What we believe in Christ. Notice what he's saying here in verse number 12. "That by the mutual faith of both you and me." We find comfort together because of what we believe about Scripture, what we believe about salvation, what we believe about the Son of God, what we believe about the soul of man, what we believe about the second coming, what we believe about God's church, and what we believe about Christ. These are the things that knit us together, and we must not forget our missionaries are out there as agents of the gospel from this church, and we're together with them. Don't ever lose sight that we're together because of our mutual faith. Here's the second thing I want you to see tonight. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians. And go to chapter number 1, if you would. This is the second time. Now, Rome was 500 miles away. Corinth was 200 miles away. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Here's the second thing that brings us together with our missionary. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 7. "And our hope of you is steadfast, meaning it's not wavering, it's hanging in there. Why is it steadfast? Knowing. Watch these words now. Now you're not going to see the word together, but you're going to see the word partaker. It's the essence of, or the sense of the same word. Notice what he said, that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. What brings us together? I told you several very brief accounts of different missionaries who've buried their loved ones, wife, mom, brother. Buried their loved ones and can't get here. That's suffering, isn't it? There's not a person here who does not feel the empathy of that. We've had children who were grandchildren that were born that missionaries cannot get to. We have people who cannot even transit back and forth from where they are to here. If they leave, they can't come back. We've had missionaries in the last 30 days who've had to come home and leave their field, not knowing ever when they'll be ever able to return. But if they didn't leave, life or death. Have a missionary who's trying to get home. There's one flight a month, and he is quite sick, suffered a stroke, in a very remote place, and he's trying to get on the next flight, which is next month, before he can get back. What does that do? Their suffering brings us together. What happens here at home when someone here in the church has a death in the family, a sickness in the family, a problem that's taking place and the church family's aware of it? What brings us together? The suffering. And we can't ever forget that. We're going through tough times. I don't know what it's like for your church here to say, okay, how many sicknesses have we had in the church, these things. But I can tell you in other places where I've been, there have been significant impact and death and such. And with that, it has to bring us together. Just this week at our church at home, we had a death in our church. And it's real. These things are genuine. They're out there. And we have to realize it's not just our faith that brings us together. It's our suffering. But, oh, look at the second part of that verse. Not only are you partakers of the suffering, you've got to be partakers of the consolation. And that's the joy. You get the reports from your missionaries and say, oh, they were able to bring someone to Christ. They started a radio station and people are being saved and they started another church over here. They had a tent meeting. They had a crusade. They had a vacation Bible school. They had an opportunity to reach the lost over here. And you read those letters and that's where we're brought together as well. Both sides of the spectrum, suffering and consolation. This is what brings us together. You cannot let your family ever lose sight of the togetherness in missions. Paul wrote of it. He said, we're together. What we believe brings us together. And what we go through brings us together. I imagine for some of you, you had your own emotional response to when I spoke about the missionary who watched his mom pass from this life to the next life, and he had to watch that by FaceTime. There's not a person here who doesn't empathize in this situation, or at least sympathize. And you say, oh my goodness, he must feel so alone. He must feel somewhat rejected, must feel frustrated. But this is where you and I have to gird up the loins of our mind and find our unity and don't allow our own society, which is driving us apart from each other, don't allow that to happen and renew our commitment to say, no, we believe together and when they hurt, we're going to hurt. And when they weep, we're going to weep. Right now, we're so busy weeping about our own problems. And the fact is that there are a world of missionaries out there that need us to say, keep your head on straight. We've got to stay in this thing together. Third thing I want you to see tonight is the first one is that our faith brings us together. The second one is our suffering and consolation bring us together. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 1 and verse number 11. And this, I think this one amazes me the most. Of all of the togethers Paul spoke of in the labor of the gospel. Notice what he says in 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. You say, no way. They're 200 miles away, and Paul said, you are helping us. By what? By prayer. I listen to us as a church culture. I hear us often say, is there anything else I can do for you besides prayer? As if prayer is like the most minimal thing. And maybe I could do something besides prayer. Prayer is the thing. That is the most important thing. Nothing supersedes that. When it comes to togetherness, what's going to bring us together in missions? Our faith? Suffering and consolation? Absolutely. But Paul says here in 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. What do? We help stay together by prayer. What happens? You get the prayer requests of the church and you feel your heart is knit to that person. Would to God that we would pray for others' requests as earnestly as we pray for our own. Or we simply outsource and call the church and say, Pastor, pray for us. I'm going to sit over here and worry, but you pray for me, okay? But Paul is saying here, you have a genuine impact. You genuinely help when you pray. Do your missionaries really know how fervently you pray for them? So, no, Brother O'Malley, don't use that word fervent. I'll say once a week, God bless all the missionaries everywhere. I'm talking about fervently praying for them by name. Paul said, you are helping us by prayer. Prayer is absolutely the key. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, I'll just read the verse to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We realize that prayer is warfare, and we go to battle for our missionaries when we pray. So we're talking about what are the things that unify us as a church. Last night we focused on that. Tonight I'm focused on this again to say a gospel-centered life last night. And tonight I'm showing you the togetherness that is required and what brings us together. We still believe the same. We suffer with them. We feel the consolation with them. And we ought to be praying for them. One night I was, it was quite early in the morning. A missionary was he called me, and he said, God just got me up. And my wife and I knelt by our bed. It was 3 a.m. where they were, and it was 7 a.m. here. And he said, God woke us up, and we knelt by our bed, and we prayed for you. Is everything okay? At that very moment that God woke them, I was here in Virginia toward the coast, and I was coming down a two-lane road, and I was in a truck, a F-350, pulling a fifth-wheel trailer, and I looked out my rearview mirror, and I watched the slide-outs of the camper come out while I'm driving down a two-lane road with a tractor trailer that's coming straight on. That very moment, God woke them. And they prayed. And what didn't seem like could possibly happen on a two-lane road, there was just enough for the tractor trailer to get by and just enough for me to get over, because it was a tobacco field. It just dropped sheer like this and I couldn't get over easily. You say, well, do you really think that was God who woke him? Oh, yeah, I do. So that is just lucky. Mm-mm. That was God's hand. Now I think of me, and I say, at 3 a.m., would have I gotten out of bed, knelt by the bedside? Would I have just mumbled something, God take care of them, gone back to sleep? What kind of praying are we doing for our missionaries? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, that's awfully convicting. I know. But prayer is the thing that's going to keep us together. It keeps us together inside these walls and keeps us together with our missionaries, because the last thing you want in this season is to get disconnected from the people who are out there suffering for the sake of the gospel because of the situations with COVID-19 that are affecting the entire world. Yet we have one family that's on an island that has zero cases, but they've locked the island down. Said nobody's coming in, nobody's getting out. And you look at all these places, our missionaries need to know we're together with them. A simple email, I prayed for you today. A simple text, a message, we prayed for you tonight. Our family asks God to bless you and to meet your needs. What's going to keep us together? Well, our praying, their suffering and consolation, if we choose to feel that, as well as our faith. But there's a fourth one that I want you to go to. And now I want you to go back to Romans and go to chapter 15 for just a moment. Romans chapter 15, and I'll show you one more together that is here in this passage of Scripture. Romans 15. And look with me in verse number 25. The Bible says, Romans 15, verse 25, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." Now, what had taken place was, there was a famine. And because of that famine, churches were giving to help the church there at Jerusalem and the believers that were going through a famine. So Paul said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to those folks." But watch these words now. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia," that's a region, "and Achaia," that's a smaller region, "to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily," the idea of truth, absolute truth, "it truly pleased them." Watch what it says now, "and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them, unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." What's the fourth thing that brings us together? Well, it's our giving. This is a challenge, especially, I don't know if any of you have been so quarantined, you're not allowed to go to work, you're not considered what the government calls essential. I don't know what you face, I don't know how your income levels are, but all I can say is this: when we get into a season like this, we tend to hoard for ourselves. And we cannot neglect our missionaries who need our commitment to be true and sure. And so Paul brought out the fact, now you have to kind of read culture here, but the first thing I want you to see is these are Jews and Gentiles. And the Gentiles are giving to the Jewish believers. And so now all of a sudden there's the togetherness that happens. He said that they're debtors. Why are they debtors? Because Jerusalem saw to it they got the gospel. Then what happens? Jerusalem is now suffering. So Macedonia and Achaia say, well, we'll help. We'll give toward that. And so now what do we see? A unity that comes, a togetherness that comes by our giving. No one person in this church can underwrite the entire missions program of the church. It's terrible to put the pastor on the spot, but I don't know. Do you know what is our capital outlay for what we send out in missions every month? Roughly?
It's changed a little bit because we've had some folks come off the field.
Right.
Yes. Do we have a most recent number?
Maybe a monthly figure that we're sending out?
About
yes, 5, sir. 000. About 5,000, 60,000 a year, roughly. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It would be very hard for one person to underwrite the entire missions program of the church. But no one's ever asked you to underwrite the whole missions program of the church. All we're saying is that your family did your part, and this family did its part, and that family did its part, and all of a sudden, what do we have? We have a togetherness that takes place by our giving. I don't like this feeling of isolation. I don't like this feeling of not being connected. I don't like the feeling of not shaking hands or sharing an embrace, or I don't like these things. But how much more magnified is it that our missionaries are going through? I say to you tonight, do not forget that we are together. We are together in what we believe, our faith. We are together with them by our prayer life. We're together with them by their consolation and their suffering. And we're together by what we give. It is not just one person that gives, but it ought to be everybody that gives. Brother Hensley and his wife served in missions for a number of years and have been used by God. Dear friends from, I don't even know the very first time we met, was it early 2000s? Like 2000 to 2002. And these dear folks have served the Lord with distinction and honorably. And you know what I'm saying is true. You know that it takes prayer. You know it takes connection for when you go through tough times and when you go through joyful times. You need to be able to connect with people. Prayer is essential. Giving is essential. The faith that we share is essential. Don't let the distance grow between you, and don't let the distance grow between you and your missionaries. Can your kids name the missionaries we support of this church? Can you? So, well, should we have to? It's the treasurer. I'm assuming you're the treasurer for the missions. No, you, okay, yes. So, I'm assuming that's how you knew the number. The treasurer, he needs to know them because he has to write them the check. But if we're really together, we'll know them. We'll know what they believe. The pastor takes care of that. They don't come here unless they believe like us. You'll know when they suffer. You'll know when they rejoice. But it's important for us to stay together. Your church at this level right here, you're pretty much able to know everybody's name. You know who's here, and you know who's not here. I've had missionaries come and tell me, Brother O'Malley, I visited a supporting church. They've supported me for 20 years, and they thought I was a guest that day at the church and handed me a visitor's card. So I say to you, stay together. Don't get separated. It's the buddy system. Zach, you with me? The buddy system? Good. Stay together with your missionaries and stay together with each other. What happens? We draw apart and then we drift off and we drop out. I don't want a missionary from this church to ever feel like fellowship wasn't connected with them. Stay connected.